Of all of the many parables that Jesus told, the parable of the Good Samaritan is said to be one of the most beloved. I believe this is partly because it is very much a human interest story, which is painted in vivid colors for us. The parable of the Good Samaritan is a story that lives on forever because it touches the very core of who and what we are called to be as Christians. It reaches out not just to meet immediate needs, but needs which provide complete care of the whole person. The parable demonstrates how wishful thinking, prejudice, and self-interest can often cloud human judgment and right actions. The Samaritans, who practice their own version of Judaism, live side by side with the Jews of Israel. Despite their striking similarities in religion, appearance, and language between the two groups, they were treated by xenophobic occupants of the ancient land as foreigners. For Jews like Jesus or Peter or Matthew or James, a Samaritan to them meant a member of this group. But it also meant, in more general terms, that the Samaritans were despised foreigners. The road from Jerusalem was dangerous, the landscape was steep and rough, and its winding roads were conducive to robbers. Starting out in Jerusalem, you would find yourself about 2,500 feet above sea level. To reach Jericho, you had to travel the depth of over 800 feet below sea level, which created an amazing mixture of environmental conditions. Moving through the treacherous roads, the land changes drastically in height and in temperature. As you approach Jericho, the climate reverts to desert, and such an enormous change in the environment over a short distance is exhausting for anyone making the trip. The rocky slopes are high and steep, and when dry enough, it is passable, but not during the rainy seasons. In ancient times, reaching the area called the Ascent of Blood or the Bloody Pass, this added to the difficulty of travel and provided bandits with an easy escape and a secure hiding place in the desert. And this is what becomes the backdrop for our parable today. And it is also the backdrop for the many Jericho roads we each face in life. We have all heard this parable so many times, and most of us have heard it so often that we can repeat it as the gospel is being read. And because we have heard it so many times, we often think we know all that it means as it relates to our common life together. We know that the Good Samaritan is someone who takes care of someone in need. However, if we really meditate on this parable, we will find that it is much deeper, and we then must ask ourselves, have we really understood what Jesus is teaching and showing us about our roles as disciples? I am sure we all tend to hear the parable with a satisfied ear, believing we would surely do what the Good Samaritan did. Or at least we would like to think we would. In other words, because we know this story so well, perhaps we are eager to place ourselves in the role of the Samaritan because it is a comfortable seat for us. But today, maybe we can view this story in a different light, one that may not make us as comfortable as we would like to be, but one which drives us into service with the other. As you know well, Luke's parable is about a man who stopped to help another who was ambushed, stripped, robbed, and left for dead. Two others had passed by the scene of the crime, but were too busy with their own affairs and agendas to be bothered. Then a Samaritan, on his way down to Jericho, encountered the wounded man lying alongside the road. this Samaritan, who was hated by the Jews, would be expected to be the least likely person to render assistance. But he stopped because, as we were shown, he had great compassion. I believe Jesus uses the trio in this parable so that we might ponder the question, which person am I in the story? The priest, the Levite, or the Good Samaritan? I believe we all would agree that we each would want to play the role of the Samaritan. But I would say that at some time in our lives, we have been one of each of the characters in the parable. How many times have we been wounded and required care from others? How often have we been so preoccupied that we have walked past a situation which required our attention and resources? How many times have we been fearful to stop and offer aid because someone looked differently or acted differently than us? Who are we really in this story today? In ancient times, it was a commonplace for a story to begin with a priest and a Levite. The people of that day expected to hear the next person to be an ordinary Israelite. That was the third person in the trio, a priest, a Levite, and an Israelite. But Jesus is always in the business of making the familiar unfamiliar. And in this parable, the third person becomes the hated Samaritan, the outsider, the one who sits along the borders of their community, the one who practiced his own version of Judaism, even though he lived side by side with the Jews of Israel. But despite the striking similarities in religion, appearance, and language, the Samaritan was the one who was treated by the occupants of the land as a foreigner. But the Samaritan does not allow the law or fear or even the knowledge that he is hated to keep him from what a compassionate person would offer to another. It is the Samaritan who stops and offers complete care to the injured man. Love is always capable of overriding hatred. Hatred is often rooted in historical events such as wars and various debates and sometimes in religious views. The Samaritan had probably been taught to fear or hate the Jews as well, and being in their territory probably made him a bit fearful. Even the wounded traveler in the parable was probably nervous on the road from Jerusalem. And behold, his worst fears were realized when he was attacked by bandits who left him to die along the road. It was probably also fear that plagued the Levite and the priest, causing them to walk on the other side of the road to avoid the injured man as they too traveled along the bloody pass. Perhaps they were worried about what would happen if they stopped to offer help. Would this be a setup? Was the wounded traveler really wounded? But from the Samaritan's heart, he thought and responded differently. He turned his focus from self toward the person who was in need of care. Perhaps his thoughts were different from the others that passed by. Perhaps he wondered, what will happen to this man if I do not stop and assist him? Fear can also be a dangerous weapon for those who try to remain faithful to God. What we fear of losing can easily control our ability to respond to situations in love. And when fear is unattended, it is even more dangerous. Fear clouds our judgment, renders us useless, and causes us to act irrationally. Unfortunately, this weekend, we were bombarded with another trio: violence, hatred, and fear. The fear of not knowing the other, the fear of not trusting the other, the fear of thinking I must get you before you get me, all stem from fearful hearts. Fear is also dangerous because it can lead us down the Jericho roads of life and cause us to ignore situations which require patience, compassion, and peace. These situations, which require a faithful response, are not just situations that affect the person involved, but eventually they begin to trickle down into entire communities. Fear causes us to respond negatively to situations. It prevents us from sharing the very love that Christ commands us to practice among our neighbors. The rocky slopes, the precipitousness of life, the vandals that rob us of our self-esteem, the resentment and anger that steal our heart's compassion and willingness to be good neighbors are all obstacles we face along our personal roads from the Jerusalems of life and back to Jericho. We all have at some time found ourselves on the Jericho road. It is the road where we face the challenges of life. It could be the Jericho road of sickness, the Jericho road of financial stress, or the Jericho road of despair. The roads of Jericho are those spaces where the fragmented pieces of our lives cry out for care and attention. The Jericho roads of our lives are those desert experiences where we may have been the receiver of care and are able to later pay it forward as we also become the givers of love, peace, justice, and compassion. It is along these roads that we discover that we must offer generous measures of kindness to all who stand along the borders of life. And when we remember our Jericho experiences, we must also remember the gift of good neighboring, which is to be extended to all people in all places. If we can learn anything from the tragedies of this weekend, we must look at the realities of our current society and realize that when we live within differences with our neighbors, we place a great breach, not just between us and neighbor, but more importantly, between us and God. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. often referred to the parable of the Good Samaritan in his speeches and sermons. And while his interpretation evolved over time, he maintained a consistent focus on the way in which the parable guides us in examining our Christian obligations to one another. Dr. King also had come to know other dangerous Jericho roads, the road to integrated buses, waiting rooms, and lunch counters, all dangerous roads to travel. The road to voting registration and economic health, the road between Selma and Montgomery when walked by integrated protesters, and the road to a just society where today we still must actively work to ensure that dignity and respect of all people is possible. Dr. King also realized that the danger along the Jericho roads were not just a feature of creation, but of social relation, which called for a redesign of our social landscapes. From one of his most infamous quotes, he says, "On the one hand, we are called to play the Good Samaritan on life's roadside, but that will be only an initial act. One day, we must come to see the whole Jericho road must be so transformed that women and men are not constantly beaten and robbed as they make their journey on life's highway." Dr. King also moves beyond Luke's parable today by stating that the answer to "who is my neighbor" is only a first step toward the collective and personal transformation to which God calls us. When I reflect upon Luke's parable today, I don't just think about people of long ago, but I think about each of us here today. I think about communities, nations, and I think about races. I think about the boundaries we draw around ourselves. I think about our children and our children's children and the world they will inherit from us. And I think about, while we may find it satisfying to practice local personal charity, Jesus seems to be teaching us today that it is also important for whole communities and groups and nations and classes to recognize the other as sisters and brothers. I continue to pray, to dream, and to work toward a world where every act of kindness, random or otherwise, toward anyone can be a starting point and an inspiration in order for compassion to become woven into the very fabric of our lives, our institutions, our communities, and throughout our world. Each reminding us of who we all are as beloved children of God. And when we jumpstart this type of kindness by responding in times and circumstances that are both costly and full of risk, we respond generously to our neighbor. We must respond in times when our neighbor is stopped for a traffic violation and murdered in front of his children. We must respond in times when a father is caught in between what is truth and what is perceived to be true. We must respond graciously in times such as these, when those who are called to protect and serve the very communities that are hurting are used as a target of hatred. On the way to Jerusalem, with his face turned toward his own suffering and death, Jesus teaches that faithfulness is expressed in what we do, not just what we say. It is expressed by how we walk the walk. When Jesus tells the lawyer to go and do likewise, it could be translated go and walk, because the Hebrew word for walk means to do that which is faithful. For some, the only purpose for living a life of faith is to inherit eternal life, or what we equate to earning a place in heaven. But Jesus reminds us that eternal life also means enjoying a depth and breadth and sweetness of life with one another that is available for each of us today, and not just after we have breathed our last breath. We each still have a lot of life to live, and I pray we each will live the best life possible by always responding as good and responsible neighbors in difficult situations. Theologian Barbara Brown Taylor states living life abundantly in the here and now in this way: let the summer showers of God's work, of God's love, soak the seeds of all your right answers so that they will blossom into right actions. Then just watch the landscape begin to change. Just do it, and you will find out when you do that you do live, and live abundantly, just like the man said. Abundant life is within arm's reach for us. We need only follow the paths of Jericho and prayerfully address the needs along the way. As a committed and faithful community, I am certain that we are capable of being so much more than we are today. We are capable of being stretched in many more loving ways, which reflect God's own love for us. True Christians become true neighbors by living faithfully and allowing our faith to pour over into the dusty roads of Jericho, into the storefronts of Baton Rouge, and into the neighborhoods of Minneapolis and Dallas. As a faith community, compassion should trouble us. It should stir us up. It should keep us awake at night until we have put our heads, hands, and hearts together in order to consistently work to build up the kingdom of heaven on earth. Compassion not only feels something, it does something. My sisters and brothers in Christ, God asks for our complete availability, and God requires that we work together for peace and reconciliation. The concluding challenge of our parable today, go and do likewise, should be gut-wrenching and should force us to stop and to think and to rationalize, regardless of how many times we have heard it in Luke's parable. We should be inspired to make a personal assessment of our individual attitudes and actions toward a disadvantaged humanity, and more importantly, we must work to transform it. Luke's parable today confronts us with the demand to make on human rights decisions, and hopefully will lead us to once again confront the question, are we or are we not going to love our neighbor as ourselves? Today, we are confronted with many roads to travel. And I will admit that there are some roads that I just do not want to travel down again. Throughout life, when we have learned hard lessons, we would often say, I don't want to go down that road again. Well, today I will confess to you the roads that I do not wish to travel again. I don't want to travel the road of separation. I think we've learned about how we must value differences. I don't want to go down that road again. That road leads to the old city of segregation. I don't want to travel the road of repression, where one person or one group believes they have the right and only answer and ignores the voice of the other. I don't want us to go back to the place where one style, one spirituality, one set of preferences so dominate a situation that others are not cherished and valued. I don't want to go down that road again. That road leads to the tired old city of elitism. But there is a road that I am willing to travel. It is the road forward that we must begin to travel together. It is a path we must travel again and again until wholeness is restored to all people. This is a road that I am committed to travel over and over again. This road is the Jericho Road. The road where people are sometimes hurt and abandoned, and where others are called to respond to their pain. I will travel again and again upon the Jericho Road, where there may be pain and where there may be suffering. But it is the road where we are offered an opportunity to receive and offer the best care for others, to assist in healing sin-sick souls, to offer God's justice and mercy as we work together as agents of change. I will travel this road together with you as we address the injustices and pains of our society. I will travel the road with you as we work to become more inclusive in our thoughts, in our words, and deeds. These are the places I am committed to travel. These are the roads that I will travel with or without you again and again until freedom and justice rings throughout the land. I am ready for the journey. I hope you each will join me. Amen.